So I'm here today with the medium next door, Maureen Hancock. Very excited about this talk.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So we talked a little bit about before today how I first got introduced to you back in 2018.
Can't believe it.
Yeah, it was, you know, I had just recently lost somebody, I think maybe months before I went to go see you. Oh. And it was at Kripalu, the yoga retreat center. Are you still doing stuff?
So I did for years, and Kripalu was in the Berkshires of Mass, and now I'm at Canyon Ranch, so moving on up.
Right.
And they're right down the street. So, okay. But I loved my time there, and I think when you went, I was with my sister Rosie doing finding joy through grief.
Right. Yeah, and it was, I mean, I'm not like a huge, like, what's meant to happen is going to happen type of guy. But sometimes it's like I'm placed in situations like that, and it's almost tough to deny those sort of feelings because I really needed that at the time in my life. And I went into that with just, I was desperate. I was grieving. I didn't know what to do with myself. I had never experienced a loss like that before. And of course, my mother's freaking out. What can I do to help my son? And she was like, you know, Maureen Hancock does these retreats. Would you be open to doing something like that? And I just was, I was like a yes man, whatever I can do to help. And so I went in very skeptical of the medium world. You know,
really?
I didn't believe or not believe, but I'm a very like matter of fact. I need to feel it.
I need facts.
Yeah, I need like to be able to reach out and touch it. Yeah. Otherwise it's like, it could be, it couldn't be. I don't know. So I went in skeptical, and you know, I went in a little late, and I was the only guy. I walked in.
Of like what, 100 people?
No, it was Kripalu. There might have been like 35 people in there.
Oh.
It was a small group.
Okay.
And I think that's what turned me on to wanting to do that, because I said to myself, well, my chances of getting a reading, or you know what I mean, go up a little bit. But I didn't know what to expect, yeah. So I sat in the back. And it's funny because I walked in as a skeptic, and one thing that I noticed right away about you is, because people going to see a medium or any type of grief counseling, that's heavy shit. That's heavy, heavy stuff. So you're going into it. For me, I was nervous, you know, and I was, it was just heavy. I could feel it on my chest. Mm. But when I walked in and I started listening to you, and you had this sense of humor, you had this, it wasn't heavy. It wasn't like the lights were low, welcome everybody to Maureen. It was light and you were funny. So like, talk to me about like maybe, you know, how you bring humor into it. And, you know, is that just who you are as a person, or did you have intention in doing that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a little bit how I am anyway, but I feel like a lot of us cover things up with comedy, wink,
right.
Wink. And I was a stand-up comedian in Boston. So this was, let's see, in the late 90s, and I actually had an audition for Saturday Night Live.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my life was going in a whole different direction.
Right.
I was booked on David Letterman, and then they came and saw my set at the Comedy Connection, and I was swiftly canceled, swiftly, because I was Andrea Dice Clay on stage.
Okay, okay.
So I was in a car accident, and I was at the Roxy Nightclub, but I was the designated driver. I was dancing with Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish, I shit you not.
Nice.
And I fell asleep after I dropped everyone. I was working long hours at a law firm in Boston. That was like my life then.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did one of these and broke every bone in my face, had a near death. And then I started to hear voices. And it was so crazy that, you know, I'm like, no one's going to believe me. So I started using the comedy. I was dubbed the comedian medium. Mm. And then I switched from doing comedy clubs to going on stage. I started a cancer foundation. That's how I am, like Gemini. I just pull things out of my ass. I'm like, oh, I want to work with cancer people. I think I'll start a foundation. I was litigation manager at Logan Airport. All these series of events happened, 9/11, and that's when I quit. That's when I left. I opened a holistic healing center, and I started doing events. I hadn't even done a private reading, and I had 200 people.
Wow.
At a restaurant in Middleborough. So that's a little bit of the background. I think that using comedy helps people open up to the possibility that this is real.
Right.
And my events now as the comedian medium or the medium next door, a lot of guys are coming because they like the comedy. It makes it more accessible.
Right.
Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was very intimidated. I walk in, literally the only guy there. And I sat in the back, just kind of arms crossed, you know, just soaking it all in, just being a fly on the wall. And you put me at ease, but I was still like, you know, looking at it. And I think that first session, you read two people. And the first woman you read, I can't remember what was said, but I can remember how I felt. And you had her stand up. And within 10 seconds, I got the lump in my throat. I got tears in my eyes, and I'm like, all right, this is some serious stuff. You know, I felt it. Mm. And we had two more sessions on Saturday and then another session on Sunday. And what I really liked about it is it wasn't just we're going to sit in a room and Maureen's going to do readings the entire time. You and your sister kind of traded back and forth, and you guys talked about grief, the afterlife. You talked a lot about old souls and past lives, and so it was interesting subject matter. And then you would just be like, oh, I got to talk to you. And he'd point at somebody in the room, they'd stand up, then I'm Waterworks. And it's funny because I laugh when I tell the story. Like on the second day, I sat in the front. And they had those little like yoga chairs that you could.
Yeah,
so
the
I was
jacks.
Right in the front. And you would come near me, and in my head, I'd be, get away from me. You know what I mean? I don't want a reading. And then
you sat in the front.
Sat in the front, but then you'd get away from me and I'd be like, all right, come back. I kind of want one. And in my head, I said to myself, I can already tell I'm getting a lot out of this. So if a reading doesn't happen, I'm still going to feel like I benefited from this. Oh, no. But if a reading does happen, bonus, that'd be cool. And the first thing you said to me that freaked me out, where it was like personalized towards me, was you were kind of walking around up and down the aisles, pacing around, and you said, you know, some of us like to listen to sad music on purpose and drive around in our car and listen to sad music. And you stopped and you looked at me and you go, you do that. And then you just kept it moving and kept talking. And I just went, oh, because I did that. I had a playlist on Spotify called Sad Anthony where I, because it was, I don't know if you get this a lot, but like, I would listen to music with lyrics that I could almost relate to my situation and think about my girlfriend that passed, and it would make me sad, but the sadness would almost make me feel more connected to her. Oh. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And as time has gone on, the sadness sort of takes on a different feel. Well, you don't, you know, before I would think about her and it's Waterworks every time. And the sadness sort of dissipates. And I almost feel like I feel sad that the sadness is dissipating because the sadness would help me feel connected to her and closer to her. And so as the sadness goes away, I started to feel like the connection went away at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, people say that to me. And I say, listen, it's like you're removing layers of like this artichoke, right, to find your heart again. And that they never really like fully leave you, but their hope is that you get to a point that you fully understand and believe that you're forever connected. It's just in a different way. Mm. And energy cannot die or be destroyed, and quantum physics, and because this is your brain, right? What
right.
about this, and how does that work in this? So the music connects you, not only songs that you shared together, like, oh, this was like a song, mm-hmm. blah, 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 and we would always dance to this, but their hope is that you're like, no, I'm good. I know you're here, and not, I need a sign. I want a sign. Please show me.
Right.
So you change your language. You change your energy. And it makes it so that you can move forward, not move away from them.
Mm.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that makes sense too. I was, so as you know, I started doing these like mental health walks, and I walk around the NIP. And so my childhood best friend grew up there. He lived with his grandparents there in the NIP. So that's my association with the NIP because he was my best friend. I was over the house all the time. And he was shot and killed in Quincy, 2 years ago. And, you know, I
he's already talking to me.
Oh, goodness.
A lot of F-bombs. Can I F-bomb?
Yeah, you can F-bomb.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
he's like, what the fuck? Get your crystal ball.
Right.
You know, shake it up.
Yeah.
And I think he likes his chains or something, too. And, you know, he just said this was an injustice about what happened to him. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like wrong place at the wrong time. And he just said to me, like, I'm no innocent, like, you know, angel here, Maureen. I was in shit. But,
right.
But yeah, he definitely is around you. Do you feel him when you walk?
So I...
Oh, I just...
Yeah, check. So I it's funny about the chains and, you know, what you said is spot on. But on the when I started walking, I didn't, like, think of it ahead of time. Like, oh, I'm about to be in Jordan's neighborhood. You know what I mean? And so when I stepped foot in the neighborhood, I started to just think about him. And one of the things that I thought about on the walk was I started to think deeply about anybody that I've ever been close to in my life has helped shape my personality. Like, my personality is everybody that I've been close with, especially in my younger years. Yeah. So, like, I got this sense that, like, he's with me because he's part of me because we were so close. And I never told him this, but I used to really look up to him, the way he dressed. He was so good at basketball, you know, the way he would talk and his sense of humor. I tried to emulate it. And by emulating it, I almost, for the lack of a better term, like, became him in a way, yeah. But a part of me. So I on the walk, I started to get this, like, this... calming, like appreciative sense of, like, you know, all the success I have with the comedy and everything that I have going on. And I'd say that, like, my sense of humor is one of my best attributes. I owe some of that to Jordan because he just, you know, just that energy just, I soaked it in. And so I realized that about a lot of people in my life, people that are still here, people that have passed, especially like Jillian and people that I've lost at the same time. So, yeah, I could definitely feel them, especially on a walk. You got the birds chirping. I don't listen to music or anything like that. So,
love
yeah.
Love that, because they will sometimes, not sometimes, all the time. Like, they're going to live through you. So you gain that confidence because sometimes that is him. Like, not Whoopi Goldberg, like in Ghost, like, Morticia.
Right.
Orlando, is that you? Damn, baby, what'd you do to your hair? It's autumn sunrise. But not, like, channeling, but this kid definitely, because when you were talking, he was like, I was always better looking, funnier, like, I'd be out in front, and, you know, but he loves and he's so proud of you that you realize that's his energy trying to push you forward. Mm-hmm. And then when you just mentioned Jillian, she's just, like, sassy and funny and, like, just up for anything. And, like, yeah, you want to jump in a gorge? Let's jump in waterfall. Yeah. Who gives a shit? Woo, look out.
Right.
You know, just like that. So I love that you recognize that. And that is part of, I think, why you're being propelled forward. Like, they're like, it's time for you. Like, stop fucking around. Stop mind fucking yourself, Anthony. Like, just move forward, right?
Right.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's in through all the loss I've experienced, it's taught me so much about life. Do you know what I mean? I was in rehab one time, and I had this counselor, and he since has, sadly, he committed suicide. But he was a counselor of mine at this rehab. And he said to me one time, he was like, name a phenomenon. So I was like, what is, you know, I've heard the word, but what does it really mean? You know, something that can't be explained. I couldn't think of anything. And I said, how about just being born? And he said, you know what the statistics are, the odds are that you were born? Not that your parents had a kid, but that kid was you. It's 1 in 400 trillion. So it opened the door to this conversation about how, you know, all the stuff that needed to happen in my father's life, all the stuff that needed to happen in my mother's life for them to meet and then, you know, have sex at the exact moment in time that they did, second that they did, for me to be born. And at that time in rehab, thinking about that, knowing that Jillian had her own set of 1 in 400 trillion, and not only did we, like, cross paths at a supermarket or something, but we got close. and we really got to know each other, and she changed me when she was here and changed me so much more after she was gone. And so with that whole one in 400 trillion thing, I was really able to focus on the beauty of life rather than the tragedy of the loss. And when I went and saw you in 2018, that was something that you and your sister really preached, where it was like you guys were talking about death, but not in a tragic way, almost in like a beautiful way, where like this life that we're living is a drop in the bucket in comparison to the full scope of spirits and everything else going on.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to do like a part two, because I can go really deep into where they say to me, my nephew passed at 19, tragically, I'm not dead, I'm just different. And he has taught me so much about like energy and the continuity of life. And he's like, this is nothing. He's like, you're just here to quickly learn these lessons and then move forward and keep going on. And that we're here to grow and learn. And so she was your teacher, your buddy Jordan was your teacher, everyone, your grandmother, like they're all, and all your friends that have passed, your teachers. So I love that, and I love that you recognize that. Did I read you when I was there? So get to that.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to get heavy. Like I said, you'd come near me, and I'd be like, all right, get away from me. I don't want to. You know what I mean? Just, you know, anxiety. But obviously, like, you know, from the first session to the second session, I went from the back of the room off to the side to the front. So I felt comfortable, you know. And I remember it like it was yesterday. You know, you were on the other side of the room and you were in the middle of talking about something. It wasn't like you were setting up to read somebody or anything like that. You were just talking about what you were talking about, and you stopped almost mid-sentence and you turned your whole body and faced me directly. And when I could tell you making eye contact with me, my heart sort of sank a little bit, and I felt like the lump and you looked at me and you said, I got to talk to you. And I went, okay, you know? So, and I think for the audience, they were curious about me because I was the outlier. I stood out, the only male. I was a lot younger than everybody, for the most part. And then, everybody you read up until that point, you had them stand up where they were sitting. And for me, you had me come to the center of the room in front of everybody, and you held my hands, and you started talking about my grandfather, who I was actually at his funeral in my mom's stomach. And you started talking about how he has always been there. And I took it as he's been in the spirit world, or whatever you want to call it, since I was in my mother's womb. So he's always been on that side, is how I took it. And then you brought in my grandmother for a little bit, and then you talked about how my grandmother was excited to bring somebody else into the picture. And when you said that, I knew who you were going to bring up. And you said, you know, her first letter of her first name, and I started losing it. Tears started to flow, and so
you stop.
As soon as I acknowledged that you hit the nail on the head with who my grandmother was bringing in, like I could feel that you were going in her direction. Now, I wasn't saying anything. I just was crying. There was no verbal like cue that you were on the right path. And as soon as you recognized that you were on with the person that I was there to kind of get help with, you took on her mannerisms for a second, and you almost like you kind of gave me a big hug, and you took one leg and you wrapped it around me a little bit, and then you pushed yourself off me a little bit, and you did this with your hair where you kind of flicked your hair at me, and you looked at me and you said, do you like my hair? It's so long. And it sent like a chill up my spine, because one, that was her. She was a very touchy-feely, all-over-me type of person. And the hair thing brought back a memory that wasn't like a dear memory to me. It wasn't something I had thought about since she passed. It was a silly, goofy thing where she used to take these freaking hair growth pills, and she used to get extensions in the mail. And I used to be like, if freaking hair came in the mail again. And she used to complain about her hair wouldn't grow. And when she'd throw the extensions in, she would do shit like that, where she flung her hair around with the extensions in. So I just, it was almost like when you did that, I don't want to call it like an out-of-body experience, but it's like I was, like, I can't even explain the feeling to you. Do you know, I can't even, like, put it into words. It's like I wasn't there. Like, I just was, like, so locked in to the moment. And luckily, I had some women that were, like, furiously writing down what you were saying and everything like that and handed it to me after. The whole room was in tears because here I am, 6'2", bearded man. Who's this guy? And now I was hysterically crying. And you talked about, you know, you hit the nail on the head on how she passed. And you talked about how, you know, she was an old soul and she had lived many lives. And then you after you were done talking about her, and there was nothing you said that was like, everything was like spot on. And then you started talking about me, and you said to me, you kind of struggle a little bit, huh? And I was like, yeah. And you were like, you kind of struggle with the same stuff that she was struggling with. And I was like, yeah. And you told me how you could feel that I was struggling with more than just the loss and dealing with that. There was more to me that was hurting. Mm. And then you said to me that I was going to accomplish amazing things in my life, that I was going to do great things with my life. You're going to do something. You kept saying to me. And then I sat down, the reading was over, and I felt a sense of relief. The whole room was like, just for the rest of that afternoon, was just kind of, the energy really shifted. And then we had another session later on that Saturday, and then we had one more session on Sunday. But throughout the rest of the sessions, you would stop talking and you would make eye contact with me, and you just look over and you'd go, you're going to do something. You're going to do amazing things with your life. Now, I don't know if this social media success is the amazing things, but, like, you know, not right away. I didn't leave there and my life was incredible. You know, I had a couple years to go, but I do feel that I've done some stuff with my life and that I am going to continue to do some great things. But I always held on to that portion of things because it made me feel good. It made me feel like, all right, Maureen said I'm going to do some good things, you know? And it made me feel good about myself. And, you know, I have accomplished some great things that I never thought that I would. I never thought that I'd be able to pick up my phone and go on a rant and it could potentially reach millions of people, you know? And so, right. You know, I have told that story over the years to a lot of people. I do like a Patreon as well, where like I kind of give people bonus content, things that I'm also not comfortable like sharing with the whole world. I have like my real hardcore audience on there, and I actually told that story that I just told, but just on my Patreon, which is like a small group of people right now. So the masses haven't really heard me ever tell that story.
Wow. Yeah. And you know what's so interesting is, like, over COVID or when we were shut down, all of a sudden I didn't know who you were, and you showed up in my feed and I started following you, and I was one of the first like 500, and not until today did I realize that you were that kid at Kropalu. Yeah. It's just like 6 degrees of separation. Mm-hmm. Isn't it wild, like, how people come full circle and, you know, oh, no, we've met before. And then even just if people feel familiar, like past life stuff, mm-hmm. or like, oh, that's so weird. I feel like I've known you before. It's just so, so cool. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it was cool. And, you know, that's why I think, like, after I had told that story on the Patreon side of things is what inspired me to message you. I was like, oh, let me see if she'll come on. And my aunts, my son's mom's mom and her sister and anybody that I told that I'm doing this was so excited and so jealous that like I get to sit down with you one-on-one, because there's a lot of people that would love to do that. But I also know that like you do, there's going to be a lot of people that listen to this that know exactly who you are and are listening just to hear you talk, and they don't give a shit about what I have to say. They're like going to be excited to, oh, Maureen's on somewhere talking, let me listen. But there are going to be people that listen that aren't familiar with you, that don't know who you are. So, you know, my question for you basically is we know that you're a medium, but other than that, what else do you do? Like, what else? Because I've been watching your videos, and it's like you're into the astrology, you're into the numbers, you're into everything. So besides the medium stuff, what kind of stuff like do you do? So
what I do, I started with holistic healing years ago. I went to Boston Shiatsu School in Cambridge. All of the Shiatsu schools are gone. So I studied Chinese medicine, a little bit at the New England School of Acupuncture, just always curious and interested in how we can heal ourselves with energy and movement and things like that. And now I reopened the Zen Loft, which is my yoga studio, wellness, meditation. We have mediums and readers and all kinds of different types of healing, from frequency healing to infrared and, you know, all the rage now. So, and I used to have a cancer foundation, and I still work with children who are passing. So I get a lot of requests, and that's all my volunteer stuff. So I'll go to hospitals and homes, and I sit with kids, and boy, do they put things in perspective. So these little kids are so brave. And this one little boy I wrote about in my book, The Medium Next Door, Adventures of a True Life Ghost Whisperer, and $8 on Amazon. And but I wrote about Johnny, and he was 6 years old, and we would meet every day on Zoom. He was just like my buddy. You know, you bond with this one person, and he'd be eating his cereal. Mommy, tell me about heaven. What's it going to be like? I mean, so brave. And he's like, am I going to be able to do crosswords? Like, he was a genius. Mm. And when he passed, the parents wanted me right there with them. And this ray of sunshine came through the window and made a cross on his chest. And then at his funeral, he wanted to be a firefighter, so they had the hook and ladder, and an American flag. And the sun came in again and made that cross right there. So I love working with kids. I actually sit with parents who have just lost children. That's my volunteer work. My wait list is over 1,000, so it's full, and it has to be a recent passing. But when my sister's son passed, I was like, fuck it. I dropped a 3-year wait list. And I saw what she went through and the pain, and I have to give hope. Like, that's my whole thing. And at my events called Postcards from Heaven, it's about 3 to 4 a week. I'm in a lot of theaters up on stage. I'm going to get you on stage with me.
Okay.
You're going to do your little thing. All right. Yep, get you up there. I'm serious. And then I do this healing work. I teach yoga, qigong, tai chi. I am into astrology, but I'm kind of like that renegade astrologist, like, oh, the solar shit storms are coming in and the full moon fuckery.
Right.
And I just started my first products, the full moon fuckery sweatshirts. It's nice. Just a phase, and it has all the phases.
Okay.
And so I love to talk about like what's going on. The past couple of weeks have been really thick and gross, and we have, for real in science, we have the Schumann resonance, which is the crack in the earth. It's supposed to be positive. Right now it's very negative. We have solar shit storms, literally explosions on the sun. Mm-hmm. We have the super moon this week. We have a partial lunar eclipse, but like, I'm like you, I read about it, goes into my brain, and I'm not like, oh, I'm a numerologist and you're number 12 and blah, 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 blah. Right. But I can look at you and be like, oh my God, you past life, Native American. That's why, you know, you have to be at the ocean. You need to be in nature. You don't like how medicine feels anymore. I'm really tuning in right now. Mm-hmm. And you would like to heal more naturally. I don't want to take all this shit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
To you, right? For sure. So you were a medicine man. You were Dr. Quinn, medicine's woman, husband. So I love it. And we actually have an open house here at the Zen Loft in Bridgewater, October. It's a Saturday 19th, I think it is. Okay. So come in for all kinds of free shit. And I'm going to be doing an hour of free group reading.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's a little of me. And I'm the comedian medium on stage.
Right. Which is, if anybody hasn't checked out Maureen's stuff, where can they find you on social media?
So Medium Maureen Hancock on Instagram.
Yeah.
And on TikTok, at Maureen Hancock, there's a ton of fakes. I don't know if you got all the fakes, but there are 78 fake accounts on TikTok of me, where they reach out and they say, I'm feeling something from the ancestors.
Right.
Oh, fuck all the way off. I work with police and FBI on missing person and murders.
Oh,
we can talk about that in a second.
Right.
But they're from Nigeria.
Right.
They've all been traced back. They try to get you to pay, send your payment to Shaniqua Sullivan.
Right.
It's not me.
Right.
It's not me.
I'm assuming that, because I experienced the same thing, but if anybody's ever in question, my page is the one with the most followers. I'm assuming, because usually the fake pages might have a significant following, but not near where you're at on there.
Yeah, Instagram and Facebook, so it's Medium, so it's the Maureen Hancock fan page on Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. And then the blue check mark on both of those.
Okay.
But TikTok won't verify me. You must be verified.
No, I'm not.
I'm not.
No, I used to have problems with them because some of the stuff I would say was a little much. So a lot of my videos would get taken down, and I almost lost my account maybe a year and a half ago because I had too many strikes at once. And it's impossible to reach out to anybody on there. But I'm not worried. I got the blue check mark on Instagram. Yep. TikTok's turning into QVC.
Yeah,
TikTok shop. People are selling stuff on there. So, I've been turned off by TikTok lately, but I'm more of an Instagram guy.
Me too. So yeah, now on Instagram, you can get your morning take on things. Like, today's going to be fuckery. Go to hell, whatever. But it makes sense, right? You've been feeling very thick lately. And then I do a lot of resetting the nervous system. So even for your listeners, a couple of tips. Get out in nature. So I love that you're doing your walks.
Mm-hmm.
And then once in a while, you got to take your shoes off and stand in the grass. You can get one of those little grounding instruments from a Lowe's or Home Depot. You hold it, right? You're not grounded. Take off your shoes, stand in the grass, and all of a sudden it goes zzz. To grounded, right? Where you're just going to feel better. And I think a lot of people need to do that. Stand in the grass, the sand, and then at the end of a shower, turn it on cold, even just on your head. And then you're going to reset your vagus nerve. So vagus, right? The flight or fight that you're always dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. Releasing cortisol and all these stress hormones. Or, come take a class at the Zen Loft. We have an app if you have an iPhone. I got denied by Android, so they can just fuck all the way off. But on Facebook, it's the Zen Loft. Check it out. Inside Uplifting Connections, Bridgewater, Mass. So they have a lot of stuff going on, too, with readers and healers. And they have a frequency machine. Are you ready? You hold these wands. You put your foot on this metal thing on the ground. And it can heal certain things, right? They put it at the frequency. My friend was like, I don't believe in this crap. She was fully bruised from a car accident. I go, come try the frequency. She's like, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe in it. So she's holding the thing. Okay. And the next day, her bruises were completely gone. So this is energy work.
Right.
Do you believe in that?
Yeah,
stuff?
The walks have been helping me because I said it on one of my rants in the walks where I used to drive and see people walking and be like, you got to jog or run. What is the walk? I've been walking my whole life. I could walk from here to Antarctica and my feet wouldn't get tired. Like, what is walking doing? And then I started the walk and I realized it does help with health, right? Physical health, but the mind and what it's been doing for me. So I think that's opening the door for me to be more, especially now that I'm getting old. It's like, I don't care what people think. Let me get barefoot and put my feet in the grass and see if I feel anything. My sister was just telling me about it.
She was about grounding.
Yeah, about grounding.
And earthing, you get earthing, and then you go in the woods and the trees literally pull the anxiety and stress off of you.
Right.
Try this. I've got an assignment for you. So it works better in Costa Rica. I do retreats around the world, too, in Portugal, November. And I'm at Omega and Rhinebeck in New York. But anyway, so put your hand, go to a tree that's kind of a little bit moved. It's not
right.
And then you walk over to it. You're going to look like a crazy person. And you put your hand on, you go, hi, hi, hi. okay. And it'll start waving and then say, come down. And it'll come down and touch your hand.
Oh, wow.
Report back.
I mean, I feel like I need a couple more walks under my belt before I start talking to trees. Let's like, take it one step at a time. But I wanted to ask you.
Oh, my Lord. You know.
I wanted to ask you because my mother's big on this. If I text my mother and it's 2:22 or 4:44, she'll oh, look what time it is. It's 4:44. And so I'm like, all right, with the numbers. So do you know anything about
yes,
the numbers?
Yes, I do.
Explain the numbers to me.
I'm finally writing my second book, and it's What to Expect When Expecting Death, because we have a series, How to Bring Life In, What About Going Out? But one of the chapters is on numbers. And numbers are huge, not just like the other side or beyond, but in just, you know, higher consciousness. And so there's angel numbers, which is the 111, 222, 333, and so on. And it's so funny because when my nephew passed, we started to see 222 everywhere, but we were like, we didn't associate that. And then all my life, I've been attracted to the number 44, so 444. And you just said those two, you little psychotic psychic. but yeah, there's something to be said for angelic numbers, but also, like when my parents passed, I started seeing 5641 everywhere, which was our home phone number growing up. But if I'm going through a tough time, like I had some health scares and whatever, license plates everywhere, 5641. But I'm like, who's doing this? This is crazy because our human brain will talk us out of everything.
Right.
And but if you dig deep and you just like open up to all possibilities, like numbers are huge. They'll make you look at the clock 11:11. They'll make you look at like the time they passed or a sports number, or there's just numbers. I haven't even cracked the code on the numbers, but it's crazy.
Right.
And isn't that, you did a nice tie-in with frequencies. They look up these certain numbers that code with like, say, migraines or a certain cancer, you have knee pain, and it's all numbers. And then they do the frequency with the numbers, and then there's energy bars turning up everywhere with these panels of different colored lights. So lights, numbers, all the shit.
I remember I was like, you know, talking to this girl, and for the first time I went over to her place, and we were just kind of hanging out in the living room, and she was very, you know, holistic and all about healing, and she started talking about this machine. This like electronic pulse machine where you strap in this thing like around your neck or something like that. And she's talking about the machine and I'm pretended like I'm really
interested. Were you imagining it's like sexual?
No. She was like explaining how it's like, you know, it has these healing properties and it gives you like these electronic pulses and she messes with the levels and stuff. Oh. And so I'm talking to her about it and she's like, I have it. I have a whole room for it. Do you want me to strap you in? So I don't really even know this girl.
I'm dead.
And all of a sudden, I'm laying in a chair, and she's got all this stuff plugged into my fingers, and I got this thing around my neck, and I'm plugged into this machine at some girl's house.
It's an EMF
house.
Machine.
Yeah. And I did. She was messing around with it, and I'm laughing. I'm like goofing. I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, my friends are going to get a kick out of
this.
I actually took a selfie because she, like, left the room for a second. I took a selfie of me strapped into this freaking machine and sent it to a couple of my buddies, and they were like, what is going on? Where are you?
50 Shades of fucking purple.
But I felt, I mean, I definitely felt something and felt better after. I think, you know, I'm starting to, because we talked a little bit about my struggles over the years and especially this past year. I think now that, like, I feel more grounded and a lot of the bullshit is kind of in the past and I'm sort of moving forward, I'm more open to trying different things. You know what I mean?
I love the biomat. The other thing with infrared sauna, like you see the face mask girls put on or whatever, guys too, but it regenerates collagen in your body. But for me, my infrared sauna gets rid of like inflammation and the back pain. So everything's inflammation. And I just feel like I love that you're walking because we've all gone to shit in the past 4 years, right? I've got the COVID-20. I got double Spanx. I feel like a sausage casing, right? And now I'm walking every morning with my dogs.
Yeah.
At the Bridgewater Triangle, so we got to talk about that. But it's magic. And it just, before I have a show, because it takes a lot out of me, even though I joke and laugh, I am in bed, like, after I do an event, when I work with police and FBI on murders and missing people, I'm in bed for 3 days because people don't realize what it takes for me to do that. So I'm raising my consciousness higher to reach the other side, and I'm asking them to bring their energy down. So everyone can do this, by the way.
Right.
Everyone's a medium. It's just all ooga booga.
Right.
You know, but I think, don't you think more people are like opening up to this, all of it?
Yeah, and I think part of that is because of the internet, where the average person today is kind of in control of the media, where like anybody can upload anything online. So you're not just relegated to what's on the news or what's on TV or what's popular. You're getting a mix of so many different people's ways of life and with, you know, the way that they heal, things that they're trying out, things that they're into. There's so much more information out there. So I feel like people are more open to hearing that stuff and trying that stuff. And it's funny you said Bridgewater Triangle, because we filmed an episode of the podcast in the woods, in the Bridgewater Triangle. I didn't know it was in the Bridgewater Triangle at the time. No, but I got sent to one of those wilderness programs, Outward Bound programs, when I was 16.
Oh.
My parents tricked me into going, and all of a sudden I was in the Adirondacks in one of those wilderness programs. So I thought, oh, let's do it. Let's film it outside in the woods. So when I tell the story, and I kind of dressed how they had us dressed back then, and we had a campfire going. But little did I, after the fact, my buddy that was there with me shooting, he sent a picture in where he said, you know, we shot this in the woods in the Bridgewater Triangle, right? And he did. I knew about it because I grew up in Bridgewater. You know, we used to, you know, drive by the prison as a section of it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, people would talk about, you know, stories of like, there was always this one story about like prom night, like kids used to race on the street and the kid died in a car accident. And then people talked about like driving down that street and seeing the ghost of him and stuff like that. Yeah. So what do you know about the Bridgewater Triangle?
Oh, let me tell you. So, and I am like the wickedest scared medium. So I'm not like, oh, I want to go into this haunted house. I'm the first one like, the fuck, I don't.
Right.
You know, people are like, can you come clear my house? I'm like, just tell it to go away. Like, whatever. Use sage. I don't know. Holy water. Just spread it around.
Right.
Although, like when my son was little, I had to teach him, like, St. Michael the Archangel stand at every door and window. And he was like, there's a guy in the closet with all black and red eyes. And then I got my mama bear, but I go back to the Catholic, right? I'm squeezing the beads, the rosaries.
Yeah.
I got Mary on the half shell, and I put Jesus everywhere.
Right.
Oh, Holy Mary. But to the Bridgewater Triangle, so back, you know, I don't even know when it was, like the 1800s, the King Philip's War.
Okay.
So King Philip was a Native American, and he, and you know, the I don't know who it was, the Puritans or someone started coming in and taking over the land, and he had to fight. And so it runs from all the way down to even like North Attleboro, Freetown, Rehoboth, Easton, Abington. But the heart of it is definitely Bridgewater, East Bridgewater, West Bridgewater. West Bridgewater, there's the Suicide Stone. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
Ooh. So it has writing on it from like the 1800s, like thee that comes by here, bling, bling, bling. And, you know, I shot a little documentary, like a short one. So I was in Norton at King Philip's Cave. The shit that came out on my video, big, huge, I'll show you after, purple orb. So an orb is the energy, but it's the spirit. And you could see the face of King Philip, and it was floating around me
as wild.
I'm in the cave, like half, you know, oh, I can see.
Right.
But you could hear it. And so I walk my dogs not far from here at a conservation land, and I've posted this before, that you can hear drumming, like native drumming. Like it's early morning. Nobody's out drumming and
right.
Native American, whatever.
Yeah.
But so you can see UFOs, the Pudgewuckies. Have you heard of them?
No. Nope.
So they're these little potbelly little guys. Can't say midget, but little people.
Right.
And then there's been Sasquatch sightings.
Yeah.
Like people have pictures of that. There's cops in West Bridgewater who have pictures of, like, in the 1970s that allegedly Sasquatch lifted up their car, but they, I don't know, they have an old black and white photo, and it was right. this big hairy creature. And,
yeah.
But I have seen, there's also, like, the big, I call them the pterodactyls. I forget what they call them, these big winged birds.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy shit. And then balls of energy that fly across your yard. I saw that. And I've been in Bridgewater 26 years. But when I walk in this conservation land, and you got to do one of your walks there, I am completely healed.
I mean, you're not really making me want to feel like I want to do these walks.
Oh, true.
And all of a sudden, an Indian's going to jump out from behind a tree.
All right, yeah. You're going to have sex with Sasquatch. Is gonna,
that would go viral, though. Yeah, yeah, that would.
I can't.
All of a sudden, I'm on my morning walk. All right, there's Sasquatch,
now,
guys.
Now, I'll tell you where it's scary for me.
Yeah.
The Nip.
Okay.
So Lake Nipitucket, where mm-hmm. is where you walk and where you film or whatever. And that, I took, oh my God, what is it called? The kayaks out mm-hmm. with my husband, and we went over to the little island there. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people have drowned over there. Mm. It's like they're sucked into this vortex of energy.
Right. I went swimming in the net before, drunk.
How did it feel?
It was slimy.
And it's weird.
And I was dead. I think we were like... It was like high school days when you go out drinking with your buddies and stuff like that. And we ended up in the Nip parking lot like at 7 a.m. And my friend was like, you won't jump in. And I jumped into the Nip. I'll never do it again. It was gross.
And people sucked under. So
right.
Get this. I'm over at the island with this and I'm starting to feel weird. And I'm like, oh, I feel so negative and awful. Mm. And then all of a sudden, my husband, you know, he believes, but he's not. Like, he's like, you do you.
Right, right.
And he's like, what the hell's happening here? We started, like, there's like a Bermuda Triangle out there. We start moving and going in a circle. He's in his kayak, I'm in mine. I'm like, I don't know. He's like, you got to pedal faster. And I'm like, boop, 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 boop.
Right.
And then we go over to the island. We go on the island. There's, like, all this shit there. Like, somebody lives there. Big gallons of water, but then there's a clothesline with all these dolls hanging. And I'm like,
that's creepy.
This is voodoo.
Yeah.
I'm like, we gotta go. And he's like a 10th degree black belt in karate.
Right.
Owns Bridgewater Martial Arts. Shameless plug. But I'm like, aren't you gonna protect me? He's like, like running. And he's like, run.
Right.
I was like, run, Forrest, run. And
that's creepy.
We took because it was creepy and the guy was peeking out around.
So you saw a guy on the island.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
And so we never went back, but when we got back in the kayak, he goes, we are never coming here again. I feel sick. Like, he was even picking it up. So, but over near me on the other side of Bridgewater, I do feel like it's just extremely healing. And I shot a pilot for TV recently. And for shits and giggles, I was telling the crew about this is the Bridgewater Triangle, a little bit about the background. And then I said, watch, I can, like, bring in the wind. And I was like, I'm with my niece, Candace Dalton. We shot the pilot. And all of a sudden, when you see it, and I did an Instagram about this, and mm-hmm. I was joking around, telling the story, like, I can call in the wind. In that video, all of a sudden, the wind came in, like, blah, 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 blah. Like,
right, right.
It was crazy.
That's wild.
So I love it, but I'm wicked as scared too.
So you and Candace Dalton, Spirit Medium, might be or are going to have a show together. I know you can't talk too much about it.
I can tell you a little bit about it. So, you know, I did a pilot back in 2011, Psychic in Suburbia with ABC and the Ghost Whisperer producers. And we were on the Style Network and then they went bankrupt. And then Oprah Winfrey wanted the show. It was mm-hmm. crazy back then.
Yeah.
But it was when you were realizing that reality was fake and bullshit. And they would try to make us do things. And like, okay, next scene, go call your sister a bitch. Start a fight with your nieces.
Right, right, right.
They were like editing it to make my family look bad.
Right.
And so everyone quit. And
yeah.
I appreciate that and honor that. This time I feel like I'm a little bit more in control.
Mm.
So Candace is a mini me, and we basically have like a family of mediums. It runs
right.
in the family from my Irish grandmother back in the day, and her sister was a sort of a well-known Irish mystic, even though they had priests and the siblings.
Yeah.
And so we shot the pilot. It's being shopped around, but there is one network that's really interested. And I do get a good feeling because it's finally where I can say I'm not doing this and I'm doing that and I'm
right.
doing this.
Right.
And it's just a very positive storyline. So I was out there before all the people like, oh, you copied Teresa Caputo. No, I was out on before her. Okay, bitch.
Right.
And so we're excited. And so we're going to know probably in the next month. And
oh, then that's exciting.
I feel, because I am psychic, I should know, right? I feel like we're going to start filming around February or March.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, and it'll be really uplifting. And then still, and all around here, it's going to be filmed.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm excited about that. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I feel like we should do this again. I know you talked to me earlier about maybe coming on one of my walks with me. Maybe we walk through the Nip.
Let's walk.
Maybe we take a kayak to the island. I don't know. Do something like that.
I have kayaks.
That'd be great.
I think we should.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
See if the guy's there.
Yeah.
Who's going to run faster, you or me?
Yeah, maybe we should bring somebody with a license to carry, just in case.
Oh, no, he ran last time. But also, part two, we can talk about all my work with missing people and murders and FBI and police.
For
and
sure.
People love that crime stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
And I've had a lot of luck helping to bring home missing living children.
Wow.
So I get requests almost every day all over the country.
Wow.
And I can help bring them home. And that's the idea.
Now, is that going to be an element of the show?
I don't think so, which I'm really happy about because when, you know, I've had hits put out on me, people are in jail. It's very like,
you don't want to make it too public.
It's a wonky business. Yeah.
Right.
I do it for free. I love to do it. They might touch on it a little bit because Candace does a little bit of that work. But I'll always still do that behind the scenes.
Mm.
All the other networks wanted crime. We want them. Crime.
Right,
and it literally was killing me because I can't say no. And so, yeah.
Well, I live up the street. I won't say the apartment complex name, but you know it. Somebody hit my car the other day and didn't leave a note. Is there any way you could help me figure out who did it? Because it's really getting to me. Every time I pull in the parking lot, I'm like, who hit my car?
Yeah, it's a truck for sure.
Okay.
It's somebody that lives there, so you can drive around, right? It's definitely either a black truck or a dark colored truck.
Yeah.
Definitely a guy. Kind of scruffy, lighter hair. I don't know. I'm seeing this. All right. Let's do it together.
Yeah. I've been looking at people's bumpers, but now I know I'm going to be looking specifically for trucks.
Or an SUV, but it's tall. Yeah. And I'll go up and I'll be like, your dead grandmother says you need to fess up.
Right.
She's going to float over your bed.
Yeah. If you're listening to this and it's you that hit my car, me and Maureen are coming for
you. Yeah. So is your dead grandfather and grandmother.
All right. Well, this has been great.
So
we should
fun.
Do it again. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Of course. Awesome.